Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. And now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good night, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. We are glad you are here. This is Reverend Terry Power, and we are under a shady tree. And we still need to work on those new intros. Because I am not joined by Lord Onyx, I am now joined on Thursday night by my partner, my light, my lover, my lady, Robin McKean. How are you, darling?
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Woohoo! Every night that we're on the air together is a good night.
My gosh. It's getting deep in here. I love you.
Actually,
I'm not under a shady tree tonight. I'm actually in the wilds of New Jersey at the Jersey Shore visiting friends, and you just got back from Florida like 20 minutes ago. So it's kind of a mishmash tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, flying through Philly is always a challenge. Let's just say it that way.
To say the least, yeah.
Tuesday night I was actually under a shady tree down there with the scrub oaks and the Spanish moss. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're right. I flew in the door actually probably closer to 50 minutes ago.
Okay.
But still, I've been, flights delayed. Again, anytime I fly through Philly, I never arrive when I'm supposed to be where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. I think in future, anything that has a connecting flight, just we're going to have to go through some other airport. Or you should go through some other airport.
I'm going to fly through Newark because I never have any troubles flying through Newark.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, even that time when we went to Dubai, we flew through Newark. We got there a little mm-hmm. early, and mm-hmm. They got us. And it was good because one of the flights that we were supposed to be on had a problem. Mm-hmm. They managed to reroute us, and we managed to make all of our connections and arrive on time Dubai.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem in Dubai was the sandstorms, and we had to circle waiting for the sandstorms to clear, but that wasn't a connection problem.
Right. It's rather disconcerting when they come on and tell you, well, there's a mechanical problem with the plane. We're going to fix it, and then you guys can take off in it. Really? Not sure that I really like that attitude at all.
Yeah, well, that was both the flights to Florida, both flights to and from Florida. The aircraft in Philly had a problem.
Yeah.
And then today, I'm trying to leave Charlotte to get by. Got on the plane in Tampa, got to Charlotte, everything's fine, get to my gate in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you guys come back in an hour. They're working on the airplane.
Mm.
We can't take you to Philly yet because they're working on the airplane. Oh,
yeah, that would make me crazy.
My God. You know, 3 out of 4 times I have had anything dealing with Philly, it has been late. And, of course, on Monday, my flights, because of weather in Philly, I was late getting off the ground, which then made me miss my, you know, connections and had me midnight arriving in Florida. So it's Philly's just not high on my list of airports to participate with.
Yeah, I don't blame you one bit.
So, yeah, I think I probably flew past you. Yeah, I could have waved out the window and down at the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And waved at you and Lee and said, "Hey, how's everybody doing down there?"
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I'm sitting in Lee's dining room as we speak, talking to you.
Okay, is that you in the chat room under Lee's address or name, or she logged in separately? Okay.
I'm not in the chat room, so that's Lee.
Okay, so Lily must be in the chat room. So Lisa's in the chat room for us. Okay, so she can tell you whatever she sees in the chat room if you need to come.
Yes.
All right. So, gosh, I guess we've killed enough time with talking about where we are and where we've been and what's going on. It's been a crazy week.
Yeah.
My daughter graduated high school, proof that the Holy One do look after us. Miracles happen.
True.
Yeah, halfway through her junior year, she lost her bloody mind. And she graduated, she walked across the stage and she actually showed me a piece of paper that says diploma with her name on it. You know, so.
And then we got the chickens this week, which was interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were gifted with chickens on Sunday morning without warning. Yeah, that's right.
That's right. It was interesting week.
That started the week. That's true. That started the week, and it's been madness since then.
Yeah.
And yet here we are.
And here we are, as usual, right where we're supposed
to be. Yeah, wherever we are, we manage to be on the air. Somehow, some way, we get it done.
That's true. We do have some questions this evening.
Hey, that's good, because that's what I put in the show promos that I ripped out. I ripped those out and shared them after I launched the chat room, just to tell you. I mean, it was that close to me.
Yeah, I know. You're awesome. I honestly don't know. You have way more energy than I do. I don't know how you do it. I would have been exhausted. I would have been like, forget it, I'm not doing the show tonight. Let's run a canned episode. But you're awesome. A man of commitment.
Who says I'm not exhausted?
Oh, I know you are. You must be. But okay, so here's the first question.
Okay, And all these were questions about connection with the divine, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good, because that's what I put in the show promos, too.
Well, look at that. We were coordinated. You'd think we talked about it or something.
I follow instructions.
Good boy.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome, sir. Okay, the first question is, how do I find the god or goddess that I should begin working with? This is a very common question that you get. That's it. That's the first question.
That's the whole question. Good grief. Most of our questions are 2 paragraphs.
No, that's it.
Oh, that's a simple one. I mean,
there you go.
That one's easy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, meditate. Sit down, shut up, and listen. Okay, no, go ahead. What was your
Okay, well then, I guess we're done. Good night, everybody. I think they're probably looking for a little bit more information than that, my dear. Any other suggestions?
Ms. got an answer in the chat room. She says, well, ask them.
Ask them.
We're all in a mood tonight. Of course, you know, hours in the airport system. It was a day. So, you know, the thing that I usually recommend people is to do some sort of meditation. First, do some research. You know, do a lot of reading. I found that when I started working with the divine, now those of you that don't know my history, I started out kind of doing energy work and magic in much more of a secular manner. I didn't do it as a religion. I was a magician, you know, a practical magician. And I didn't really follow a pagan path. It wasn't until about 99 that I started really seriously following a pagan path. And at that time, I knew that I had started to do a lot of reading, and I had developed an affinity for the stories of the Tuatha Dé Danann, the gods and goddesses of Ireland. And, you know, so I started doing a little more digging and started working with, started calling on Breed as the mother. And, hey, lo and behold, in my meditation, that's who came and spoke with me. And we continued to develop that relationship, and I work with her to this day. Developed a relationship with the Dagda. At times, I draw on the energy of Lou, mostly as the master craftsman. In all of the crafting work I do, whether it's out in the fields, crafting cable TV or fiber optics, or if I'm in the shop, crafting an item. And it all came out of, for me, it came out of research and reading stories and finding those stories that meant something to me. One of the things that we started doing with our, we've been doing it all along with the rituals that we do on Tuesday nights. Mm-hmm. And with Robin's help, we do these rituals every Sabbath, every full moon, and we're interspersing some dark moon rituals in through there. The idea of all of those is to give people an opportunity to connect. The divine visits us in each of those. We visit the divine. During the Sabbath rituals, it's a male and a female, and on the moons, we go to a temple and visit the goddess. Just Tuesday night, in fact, we specifically worked on a meditation to help people find out who that goddess is.
Correct.
And begin developing that relationship. So working on, you know, through meditation and, you know, as flippant as mine and Niv's answers were, it really does come down to ask. You know, you're going to be connecting with the goddess through a meditation of some sort, and ask her, who are you? Who am I working with? Who am I supposed to work with? And sometimes you'll get a name, sometimes you won't. Sometimes it's something that needs to develop further over time. But begin working. begin the process, and the divine will come to you in the in the form that it is intended.
Mm-hmm.
That manifestation of the divine that you are supposed to work with will find you. They will find you. You don't have to find them. You just have to sit down, shut up, and listen. And that's my answer. How about you, my lady?
Well, one of the things I usually tell my students is, you know, it's going to sound funny, but hereditary factors sometimes play a part in a comfort level. So, you know, if you are somebody who is from a specific culture or a specific, you know, hereditary strain, whether you're Irish, you're German, you're Hispanic, you're, you know, Native American, whatever it is, you may want to look at the gods and goddesses that are traditionally from that pantheon. And if something strikes you, that might be a good place to start. I do agree with you about the meditation, but sometimes, especially for people who are new to the path, the meditation is something they may not be able to accomplish, or they may not on their own, or they may not even know the names. I mean, a goddess might come to them and say a name, and they would be like, I don't know where that's from. So I suggest that people do a little bit of research before they decide what they want to do. And, you know, they can say, well, I think I'm going to try and stick to the Germanic, you know, tradition, or I'm going to stick to the Roman gods or the Greek gods, or and at least that's a place to start. Doesn't mean that's where you have to end up. And also part of connecting with a specific goddess or god, and I do think that people should bring one of each into their lives, so you the balancing, is creating an altar that is inclusive of something that is particularly special for that god and goddess. And again, that just requires a little bit of research. And then talking to them, creating that relationship, just like you would talk to a friend. And we've talked about this before. You know, you're in the car, you got nothing to do, can't find a good station. Talk to your goddess, talk to your god. Those kinds of things,
yeah.
Are, and with the meditation and you know, offerings, whatever you want to do, you know, pertaining to your relationship with that god or goddess, is going to make it stronger, and it's going to make it build. I personally, when I chose the gods and goddesses that I was going to work with, generally they came to me, either in a dream or in a meditation. Only one sort of was foisted upon me. but it's funny because that's the one that I have worked the most with over the years. And so, you know, there's no one way, is what I'm trying to say. There's no one way to have the god or goddess come into your life. There are many ways. And so you just have to be open to and see it. Everything from feathers dropping out of the sky right in front of you as you're walking, you know, like every day for weeks. That happened to me at one point in my life. And, you know, after this starts happening every day, you start thinking, there's something to this. And I started to collect the feathers, and I realized there was a feather language. And so I did some research into that, and it was a Native American tradition. There are all kinds of clues and cues, but you have to be willing to see them and pick up on them. So, you know,
yeah.
There are many ways to be talked to. Sometimes the birds, you know, are there to give you a message. So you just be open.
Yeah, and with experience, you also start getting surprises.
Yes.
You know, I was surprised somewhat recently, and, you know, Robin and I have spoken of this, and I think we've even mentioned it some on the air. You know, the horned god. And I'm still trying to put a name to the horned god, or even if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a, you know, the name isn't as important as the energy that I'm suddenly being asked to work with,
mm-hmm.
or I'm being called to work with. The, you know, like like Robin said, sometimes things will change. I mean, and there's no reason that our relationship with the divine will not change over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our relationship with our parents changes over time.
Mm-hmm.
Our relationship with our friends evolves and changes. Even relationships within couples evolve and change. So one god or goddess coming into our life for a period of time and then another one coming in its stead is not uncommon, nor is it something to be disturbed about. It is a natural handoff and progression through life. The horned god coming to me at this time with the things going on in my life makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
It just surprised me initially.
Yeah.
But it makes perfect sense with what's going on in our world, in our life right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that I will work with that energy for the rest of this incarnation.
Yeah.
It has that depth of feeling to it. Guided meditations. If you're new and you're struggling with meditation, not to shameless plug, but the show Tuesday night, that kind of, download that and play the guided meditation portion of that is a perfectly legitimate way to seed your own meditations until you get to a point where you can do that kind of journey work on your own without being guided.
That's true.
Because that one was specifically done for people with limited experience. And,
but that doesn't mean that people with a lot of experience did not or could not get something out of it. It's not only for people. Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. It is one of those, the guided meditations that we do in the rituals. I have been told in a number of times in a number of places that everyone gets something out of it. Everyone gets something different out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But no one leaves the experience without some experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what rituals should be, is, an experience. Everyone should walk away from every ritual with some kind of experience, even if they turn and say, gee, that was crap. That's an experience. But everybody should walk away from a ritual and say, wow, I had an experience. Because that's the whole point of ritual, is to have an experience.
Yeah, and so much of what Robin and I teach on the air is about developing that concept, that relationship with the divine in your own personal life. So the guided meditations are specifically geared toward that.
Yeah.
To help people to remember every ritual that we are connecting with the divine. And that's why we do the meditations that we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they're envisioned. And let's see, I've got something showing up here. Glacius is asking a bit of a side question.
Okay.
If you were feeling like answering it in chat, that's fine. Well, okay, good, because here we are. I'm going to say it out loud. But would it be odd for my mind to randomly wander to that circle we always start with? And I'm presuming, Glacius, that you're talking about the circle that we start with in the guided meditations or in the rituals on air. Please clarify. Is that what I felt during the on-air rituals when I wasn't in chat? Well, it's possible. It's possible that if you've connected to our group. Now, remember that we always say that time and space are illusions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are listening to a ritual in the archives, you are fully participating with us because time and space are an illusion. if you are chronologically doing something else when the ritual is going on, and you have connected with that energy on a deep level in the past, it is possible that you could be getting called toward it.
Mm-hmm.
If it is chronologically happening at the same time, it is not uncommon for you to be aware of what your brothers and sisters with whom you already have a connection. It's not uncommon to feel them. Feel that going on. He says, I always try to catch it live, but yes, I was talking about the circle we start during the guided meditation. Okay, mm-hmm. So the circle of benches. Yeah, and that's fine. That is a very real place. That circle of benches and that fountain that we do for the moons and the circle of benches with the compass on the ground, have both of those places have been visited in the astral so many times. So many people have seen it, and every time we go there, it becomes more and more solid and real. Understand that when we go to a place, when we go to a place as a group in the astral, we create that place with our energy, with our vision, and how we see it collectively, it takes on that permanence. It becomes very real. Go ahead. You don't agree with that?
Well, I do agree with that, but I would clarify a term and beg to differ. I would not say that it's in the astral. I would say that it is a place we go as a group mind, and we are creating it in our group mind. And the more each of us goes there, it lends more energy to it. I feel that the astral plane is a different place. But that's, you get three witches in a room, and you're going to get 12 opinions. So,
right. And hey, one of the cool things about my relationship with this woman is that we come from very different places. And 90% roughly, 75% to 90% of the things we disagree about, even with all of our years of separate experiences, is mostly semantics.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, is that place we go in the guided meditations astral? I think so. She thinks not. But that's the big mm-hmm. difference. We both agree that it becomes very real,
yes,
and very solid, and it mm-hmm. takes on an energy of its own. And someone can wander through that place, whether it's the astral or the group mind,
mm-hmm.
they can wander through there and stumble upon this because it's there, and it takes on a permanence. The more we feed it, the more solid and the more permanent it becomes.
And, you know, and that's the language that I always use, is that we're building a temple together. We are building this place together, each of us. And every time we all go there together, we are putting another brick in the wall, if you will, making it more permanent, making it more real. So, yeah, I do totally agree with that. But, again, not really sure it's the astral per se, but that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's semantics.
Yeah, I'm going to keep calling it the astral. But the point is, Glacius, your experience is not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very real place for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he says the words we use may be different, but we say the same thing. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And the mm-hmm. thing is, he has stumbled upon something that the listeners need to know. Particularly those that have connected. Some of Glacius' energy is in that place.
Well, sure.
Because he has attended rituals with us. He has gone there with us. So his energy is there. And mm-hmm. so is he going to be drawn to that place? Absolutely. Are there people in Barbados that still go to that temple on the mountain, on the hill, overlooking the sea?
Mm-hmm.
That place has been used We started building that temple when I was in Barbados. And two of the members down there still have told me recently they still go to that place.
Hmm.
But their energy feeds it as well as ours.
True.
And you don't have to wait for us. You don't have to wait for us. It's real. It's there. It's ours. Go there. If you want to spend time in that temple between our guided meditations, between rituals, by all means, go there. Connect with the goddess there. If that's a place that you can see, and that's a place that you can grasp, and you can get a handle on it, and you can go there and visit and commune and develop your relationship with the goddess, then we did our job. Go there, please. Use it. That's what we're doing. Would you agree with that comment?
Yes, I do. I think that part of the reason that we have created that sacred place and that we talk about it on the radio is that people can go there and commune with their gods, and that's the intention. It's almost like if you know, in lieu of us having this really large plot of land that everybody could get to by tapping their ruby red shoes together, you know, and show up at, we have this group mind, you know, temple that we're building, and everyone's energy goes into that every time we go there, and it is a way of connecting us all through those rituals, so that when we go there together, we are together.
Right.
In a physical,
like you're saying,
way.
In lieu of building a brick and mortar cathedral or temple or whatever,
right,
we build it in this place, this astral or this group mind or whatever you word it. I'm just gonna keep saying astral. So we build this place in the astral, and it's there, and it's there for all of us. Frankly, it's there for anyone, because anyone walking along that mountaintop, walking along that cliff and looking down at the ocean could come across that temple just as easily as we could. It's there, and we built it with love, and we built it as a group, and we feed it with our energy, and we make it more permanent. Please, feel free to use it, because if that helps you to connect to the divine, then it's done its job. That's exactly why we want to please.
So, anyway,
with that, I think maybe it's about time for a break. And I've queued up some Dragon Ritual Drummer stuff. And
cool.
Since Glacius is in the chat room talking about Loki, we've got a song by the Dragon Ritual Drummers called Masters of Chaos. And, you know, I was thinking of that when I was seeing him talk about Loki. So, Glacius, this one goes out for you. Everybody stick around. We'll be back here in a few minutes.
We'll be right back. listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back.
Hey.
This is Reverend Terry Fowler, and you're under a shady tree with me and Robin.
Hello.
Not on it. Were you laughing at the music? Were you just enjoying the music or something?
No, I was laughing. Lee and I were talking. I was laughing at Lee and I. I hate hearing my own voice on the radio.
I got it. Now I just love the music for Under a Shady Tree. So when we redo some of the stuff, and now that we got the Dragon Ritual Drummers music, you might start hearing some of that interspersed as well. So during the break, there was some conversation in the chat room about drums helping to connect with the divine also.
Well, absolutely. I mean, when you're drumming, you're entering into an ecstatic state. That's one of the ways to do that. It's funny. I was just talking to Ed Fitch about this on the phone last night. That's weird. And certainly, you know, it can be used. That ecstatic state can be used for lots of things: healings, connecting with the divine, spell work, raising energy. I mean, anything that you need. I mean, this is why I think drumming is so cathartic for people. And one of the things I recommend is, you know, playing some kind of music. If the drumming doesn't appeal to you, play the guitar, play the flute. I don't care what you play, but definitely try and bring music into your practice. It feeds our soul, and it creates a connection with otherworldly
planes of existence. I mean, that's really what music, how music started, you know.
Yeah.
Reaching out to the divine.
Some of y'all drum, some of us dance.
Some of us do dance. And that's also another way, like whirling dervishes. I mean, that's another way to have an ecstatic experience. Absolutely. There are lots of ways. And
I mentioned something about I hope that we will be doing some drumming on the 20th weekend when we're all together.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right. And Lisa has asked a question in the chat room. Do you know what it is?
No.
Is it okay to work with Persephone even though she hates spring?
Oh, she being Lisa, I see. Well, sure, yeah. I mean, you don't have to identify with that season. I happen to know, I know Lisa obviously pretty well. I know she loves flowers, whether they're cut roses or, flowers in her garden outside. I mean, there's always a way to connect with every god or goddess. It doesn't have to be in the classical sense, you don't have to, go out and be nature girl and run barefoot through the grass if you want to work with Persephone. But there is definitely a way to connect with her. I mean, you can go out and, tend your flowers and smell them and talk to the goddess while you're there. And there are lots of ways. There's always a way to honor your gods or goddess.
Yeah. Niv says in the chat room that she's bringing out a unique drum that someone gave her. So she'll be bringing that out on the 20th.
I'm sorry, you cut out there for a second. I did not hear what you said. I apologize.
Oh, okay. Niv said that she is, that someone gave her a unique drum that she will be bringing on the 20th.
Ah, okay. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, I've got like, 4 or 5 drums at the house, so there will be no shortage of drums. Anybody who wants to play?
So I'm looking forward to that part of it. All right. Good. So anyway, before the break, we were talking about connecting with the divine and how to find that manifestation of the god or the goddess that is being more appropriate. We are called to work with. Now, there was another question in the time we have left, which we've got about 10 minutes to deal with this. So, what was the second question, my dear?
It says, recently there's been some discussion inside my group of fellow workers. It doesn't say it's a coven or whatever. That's the way this person put it, fellow workers. We mix pantheons of gods and goddesses from one culture to another in our workings. Some do, some don't. What are your feelings on this topic?
Oh, okay. Well, see, now that's more like the questions we get. There's some background. My opinion on it is to be careful, particularly if you're, particularly if you're invoking, actually drawing the god and or goddess into yourself. Because sometimes they may not play well together. Different cultures could end up being, you could call on a god and, two goddesses or two gods from pantheons that the cultures don't necessarily get along well. And be careful of the stories within a pantheon even, because some gods and goddesses within a pantheon don't necessarily play well together. And if you're doing a true invocation and truly drawing the gods and goddesses into yourself within the circle, it could get entertaining. And not in a good way. So, I always counsel caution for those reasons. And even if you're using just a god and a goddess and the priest and priestess are invoking, I'm a little leery of mixing pantheon in that way. because, again, two different cultures, they could have very different reactions to each other. You might be calling on this, you know, this god of healing over here and this goddess of love over here, and it turns out that they're from cultures that don't get along, and they're not going to play well. So be conscious of those kind of possibilities with invocation.
Okay, I'm going to interject here.
Okay, you jump in because I have another part to my answer as well. I knew this was going to be, okay, preface mm-hmm. This is one of those things that's not semantics. We disagree.
Yeah, I do not agree with your position, mainly based on my own experience. Our coven, when we work, we're all eclectics, and we all work with different gods and goddesses, and when we step into circle, it can get really crowded. You know, we bring our gods and goddesses that we personally work with us, and we invoke them into ourselves as well at times, all together. Somebody in the circle might be invoking Kali, and somebody else in the circle might be invoking Demeter or Shiva or Hades. It depends on what we're doing and who's standing in circle. And sometimes, you know, you might invoke one god or goddess and the other ones are still standing there right behind you. And when I say that you can feel it palpably, them standing next to you, it is like literally a human being standing next to you. You can feel the warmth coming off of them. You can feel them bumping into you, standing behind you, standing with you. And you can feel supported by them. So this is real. I've experienced it, and other people have experienced it when they've come to our circles. And sometimes people are unprepared for that because they haven't done that before. So I do not have that caution that, oh, the gods might not get along if you have too many gods in your circle, because it's just the way my group has always worked. And we've never had an incident. We've never had any problems. We've had a lot of very interesting experiences mixing the gods and goddesses. We do often, each of us, ask for workings specific to what our individual needs are. Sometimes we also do workings that are group-related. Somebody in our group's not well. Well, we each call our individual gods and goddesses and add our energies to that particular working. Also, sometimes I'll work with a goddess from, let's say, the Roman pantheon, but I'll call a god from, you know, the Norse realms or even sometimes Hindu gods. It depends on what my working is. Depends on the mood of the piece, if you will. So, do I recommend that a novice do this just out of the gate on their own? Probably not. But when you've been doing it for a long time, you start to accumulate gods and goddesses. And so I don't just call one when I step into circle. They all come. And sometimes I don't, you know, we don't even call them. They just all, well, oh, she's doing a working. Here we come. We're coming. You know, wait for us. We'll be there.
Yeah,
it's
well,
just the way it happens.
Yeah, the experiences I've had with it were with people who were not necessarily as experienced, and they were doing a full invocation of a single deity within themselves, and it got, I've seen a couple of times where it got a little dicey, and I've heard some stories, firsthand accounts of rituals that got completely out of hand. Because they were doing full invocations. They were not possibly strong enough within themselves.
What happens when you invoke, or what I have experienced when I invoke, is that you're conscious and you're aware, but you're just sort of stepping aside and allowing them to come in and talk through you and act through you, but you're there and you're you know, aware and conscious. It's not like you're running off to some, you know, other plane or other realm and you have no consciousness of what's going on back in your body. Now, with that said,
well, again,
frequently when I've been asking...
Again, that comes with the strength of the person and the strength of their own will and their own personality.
Well, I think also often people are taught that when they invoke, that, oh, you don't have to worry about what's going on in your body. You can just go elsewhere. And I think that's incorrect. I think that's a misnomer. I think that people would like to be aware. I mean, wouldn't you like to be aware of what it feels like to stand in your own body with a god or a goddess?
Oh, I agree with you on that part. I do not step aside. I mean, I've had energy kind of surprise me and come visit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't lose myself. I didn't lose control.
Right.
Now, did it color my, did it flavor my personality as we mingled? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you ever seen experiments where they tell people this is an alcoholic drink and it's not, but the people allow themselves to behave as if they're drunk because they believe it?
No, but
so,
go ahead.
Okay, so if you tell someone, well, you know, when you invoke, the god or the goddess is going to take over your persona, and whatever they do, you can't be held responsible for because it's not you. And then you're going to be going somewhere else because, you know, the god and the goddess is going to, or the god or goddess is going to come into you. So, you know, you can just disappear. That, I believe, is at the root of people behaving poorly or not being able to control what goes on when they've brought, you know, a god or a goddess in, because they've been told that it's okay no matter what happens. And I have been in the situation where I've called a goddess into myself and had to sort of, I don't want to say rein them back, but sort of remind that god or goddess that I'm mortal. There are certain things we cannot do. You know, you are contained in this vessel and it only bends one way, or I can't jump across that, or I can't.
Right, or there are ramifications for the actions this body takes.
Exactly, exactly. And the words that I speak. So sometimes you have to be conscious enough to, and this is where having that really good relationship comes into play. You've got to be able to talk to your goddess and say, listen, I don't know that they're ready for that, or I don't know that I can do that because, you know, I'm a physical mortal. I can't jump on a table. You know, it's just not, I can't do it. It's not going to happen. So
we have to temper that. Yes, certainly.
Yeah. And not that I'm telling the god or goddess what to do, but I am asking them to consider the fact that I have a mortal flesh, you know, and bone body when they enter me, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, I mean, we agree on some of this. We disagree on other parts of it. And, mm-hmm. you know, my experiences will change. And, you know, the caution comes down to being, being aware.
Mm-hmm.
Being strong within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's going to come down to a lot of it, is the person that's doing the invocation secure enough with their own personality? Or they mm-hmm. are they being taught, like you said, to step aside and whatever happens is okay? No, mm-hmm. it's not.
Mm-hmm. In
you know,
some traditions,
there are ramifications. There are personal things that, you know, this body does mm-hmm. something. I'm responsible legally.
Right. In some traditions,
and morally,
things are taught because that's the tradition. And that's, you know, I guess that's the way they want to things. That's okay. But I have never had that experience. I have never felt that it was the way to do it. And everybody has to go with what feels right to them, and I get that. And everybody's going to practice according to their experience, and I wholeheartedly endorse that. But these are just to share my point of view, because I don't hear what I have experienced. You don't hear frequently from other people. So that's why I'm sharing the experience of the crowded circle with the gods and goddesses. So
I'm glad you did. And see, there are times when we don't always agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's all cool too.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we are hurtling rapidly toward the top of the hour.
Okay.
So why don't you talk about some of the things we've got coming up, because June is going to be crazy, crazy busy.
It is. Well, let's see. Tomorrow night, Lee and I are going to have Ed Fitch on as our guest. I spoke to him earlier in the week, and very interesting gentleman. Has been around the community for a long time, and we're going to talk about some very interesting things tomorrow evening, so please tune in. That's number one. June is crazy. I'm trying to remember everything we're trying to do because I'm not at home and I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Let's see, the 13th, we'll see, next week, this coming weekend.
Tuesday.
This coming weekend, we're getting ready for June.
Yes.
This coming Tuesday night, we're going to wrap up the archetypes. Then the following Tuesday is going to be dark moon.
I think that this coming Tuesday is the dark moon, sweetheart.
We just did full moon a week ago, or less than a week ago, this week. It can't be 2 weeks. It can't be 1 week.
Okay. Like I said, I don't have my calendar in front of me, so you're right. I could be wrong.
So we're going to wrap up the archetypes next Tuesday. Then the following is the dark moon, and the Tuesday after that is going to be our midsummer celebration and really kind of celebrating the first year on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have some guests coming in to participate in the ritual with us, and kind of have a little bit of an on-air homecoming. So
cool.
you might want to be present for that. It could be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And just us. I mean, we've got so much coming up. I mean, 13th, we're going to be at the opening of the Akashic Library in Maryland. What city in Maryland is that?
You know what? Again, off the top of my head, I'm not 100% sure, but it's through the Assembly of the Sacred Wheel with Ivo Dominguez. And if you go to their Facebook page, I'm sure that the information about where that is right there on the Facebook page.
Yes, then the following weekend, we're having the gathering at the mountain, and we're going to celebrate midsummer in person.
Yep.
And we're going to share something special with those in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll do some drumming and dancing around the fire as well. So we're looking forward to that. And the following weekend, you get the idea here, gang. The following weekend, we are going to be at a campground called Midian, over near French Lick, Indiana. There's another city that's closer to, but anyway, it's in southeast Indiana. And we're going to be attending and speaking at an event called Horn and Honey. And if you're interested, if you're in that area and want to come out and join us and meet us, we're going to be doing three workshops, I think, including our couples communication workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing that the 27th and 28th at Midian. You can go to hornandhoney.org and get the full information on it. So if you're in the Midwest and you want to come out to an event on the 27th and 28th of June, join us. And we're going to, depending on technology, we're going to try desperately to do a live remote on Saturday night, the 28th. So
I can't wait. I love doing the live remotes. They're so much fun. The one we did from the Florida Pagan Gatherings was just such a joy.
It is. It's always a blast. And getting people, getting all the people involved in the event to come and talk and share that with everybody, because we really encourage people to go to events.
Mm.
Get out from behind the computers. Go to events.
Yep. Support your local community.
As in the weekend after that is the 4th of July, and I plan to do so little that weekend.
Yeah, I think we're just going to lie around the house that weekend and do maybe mow the lawn if it needs it, and that's going to be it.
Yeah, mow the lawn and put some animal flesh on the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And do that, but I don't see much else happening that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we've got a webinar, I Forgive webinar, coming up the following weekend.
That's right.
I mean, it's crazy busy all the time. So now stay tuned,
and
check it out. Go ahead.
The webinars are great because these classes we do in the webinars are some of the classes that we do at events. So if you can't get to an event, but you'd really love to take a class with Terry and I, you can sign on to the webinar instead and hear it. And it's basically going to be the same class. So, I mean, it's a wonderful way to get the information and have the experience of the workshop. And they're live. They are not, you know, pre-recorded, canned. You are actually going to be there talking to us and seeing us. And so, you know, if you can't get someplace like Horn and Honey or the Florida Pagan Gathering or wherever else we're going to be, you know, live this season, certainly try and catch one of the webinars.
Yeah, and Glacius is asking, where is the webinar and what does it cost? I'll answer the first part or the second part of that first. It's a very low cost. It's $25
mm-hmm.
for the live webinar. And that
mm-hmm.
just helps us to pay for our account through GoToWebinar.
Mm-hmm.
And GoToMeeting, GoToWebinar, GoToWhatever, it's all part of one package. And there
mm-hmm.
is a cost, you know. I mean, it costs us to use. You know, we have a monthly fee that we pay to GoToWebinar and GoToMeeting so that we have all of these programs available for our use in our account. So, you know, we do have to charge a little bit, but $25 for a webinar, get to spend an hour live with us, it helps us pay the bills on the service.
Mm-hmm.
But
the information that we're going to be talking about and just really to have be able to sit really almost one-on-one with us and have conversation is a good opportunity, because when you do go to these events, you're sharing us with, you know, 30, 40, 50 other people who are attending the class. So in a webinar, it's very intimate, and it's very, you're really right in our face. And so you're going to get the most in-depth communication with us than you're probably going to get even if you did come to an event. Although events are great, and they're a lot of fun, and I wholeheartedly recommend them. So
yeah, a different kind of energy. And
mm-hmm, yeah.
question in the chat room about PayPal. Yes, what you do is you email us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And what we do is we'll send you the information about the PayPal account, and then you'll get an invitation by email when you sign up that will give you the link and everything that goes into logging into a webinar from the GoToWebinar software.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and we're looking at the probably the I Forgive on that first weekend, and then maybe a pared down version of the Communications for Couples workshop a couple of weeks after that. So
yes.
So anyway, I want to thank everybody for being with us. If you're interested in getting in touch with any member of the cast, crew, panelists, any of our guests, we can get messages to our guests. You can email us at, cern.org@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, cern_org. Let's see, it's at cern_org. You can also look at Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page and look at spiritualunityradionetwork.org, our website. You can also get, again, you can get in touch with Robin and I at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Check out the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings face on page on Facebook and the page on Facebook. Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings page on Facebook. There, I think I said it all correctly that time. And you can, click on the like button. You get a lot of stuff about what we're doing. It gets posted there. For myself, you can find me Rev Terry Power HP. Facebook page is the easiest way to find me. Go there and click like also so that you can keep up with what we're doing. And the spiritual, I think that was it. Now, how does someone find you, my darling?
Well, they can go to my Facebook page, Robin A. McKean, or they can go to, they can email me at the littlestonebridge@gmail.com account as well. That's really the best way these days, other than the radio station. I think you gave the email for that. And then that's about it. It's easy peasy.
All right. So
and of course the Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page as well. Any one of those.
Right. Cool. Yeah, there's 150 ways to find us. You just got to pick one. But
exactly.
Whenever you go to a page on Facebook, make sure you click like on it so that we know that you're there.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Like us on Facebook.
You like us. Really like us.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, everybody. We enjoy doing these shows. We enjoy, Robin and I can get together and, with Niv and Lisa and Glacius and Trev, and we could find a way to do this without having to be on the radio, but we share this with you because it matters. And we love having you with us, each and every one of you, whether you're live with us or listening in the archives, we're here for you. So let us know what you want to hear about, those questions that we're always asking for questions for Thursday night. These questions come from our listeners. This is how we give back.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, thanks again for being with us. My lady, final thoughts?
Oh, as always, my final thought is for everybody to enjoy their evening, go off and do something that feeds your soul, and as always, spread the love.
And may you have a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.